Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
In Ukraine, where Joseph Lindsley is, Joe, hello to you. As you know, it's Victory Day in Moscow, and it's usually a day of parades and flexing military might, but it's a more modest event this time. What do you make of all that?
Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. Yes, usually there are hundreds of tanks rolling through the streets of Moscow on May 9th, which is the day that Moscow commemorates the fall of the Nazis in World War II. Europe and the United States commemorate that on May 8th, simply because Moscow is a few time zones ahead. But it's really in the celebration of the two holidays, you see, you know, the free world and the world that's a legacy of the Nazi tyranny, which is in Moscow. And so today, because clearly Russia cannot devote military equipment to a parade, as they're even, you know, they're struggling to take Bakhmut. And in fact, by the way, there are some reports, and it's hard to get real information right now, but that Ukrainians have taken a kilometer, not much, but a kilometer of territory in Bakhmut. But there is almost an information blackout on what's exactly happening there. What we did see in Moscow today, there was one tank in this parade, and people were happy. I wouldn't say happy, but there's an irony about this, because that tank was made in the Ukrainian city of Kharkiv during the Soviet times, made by Ukrainian ingenuity. And so that was the only tank that was in the parade in Moscow. And Vladimir Putin, in his speech, or, you know, who knows if it was actually Putin or a body double, was, you know, once again saying that Russia is under attack from the West, you know, just complete devoid of reality, and sort of this victim speech that, you know, it's Russia that's oppressed. And it's interesting that, you know, everything in that parade today and everything in Putin's speech is about something that happened in 1945. And in the Russian psyche, you know, what happened since? You know, what is there anything else to celebrate? Why are they so fixated on that day? And, you know, as Putin spoke of how, you know, and it was important. The United States worked with Russia and the UK to defeat the Nazis. In fact, Putin did not mention this in his speech, but through the Lend-Lease program during World War II, United States supplied weapons to Russia. And so it was a joint effort. But then Russia continued that tyranny. And from that time in 1945, when the Nazis fell, the people of Eastern Europe continued to live under tyranny. And in fact, I mean, you can think of a couple of landmark points, but in 1956, when the people of Hungary wanted freedom, Soviet tanks came rolling into their city, into the city of Budapest. In 1968, the Czech people in Prague, it was called the Prague Spring, and there was a reawakening, and there was almost like Ukraine's revolution in 2014. People were insisting on wanting to be free, and once again, Soviet tanks crushed that. And so there's this, from 1945 until 1991, there was a continued history of oppression. And it is interesting that the countries like Ukraine, Latvia, Estonia, Poland, who were in the Iron Curtain, they celebrate the breakup of the Soviet Union in 1991 as their independence. But Russia when they're looking for a celebration, they have to go back to 1945. And I think that really is revealing about the mindset in the Kremlin. And meanwhile, while those events were happening in Moscow today, Ursula von der Leyen, the president of the EU Commission, arrived in Kyiv via the overnight train. And she arrived, it seems, just a few hours after the Russians had struck Kyiv. So you have one of the top leaders of Europe arriving in Kyiv right after another attempt of the Russians to hit Kyiv. This morning's attacks were the fifth attacks on Kyiv in the past 9 days. Mm-hmm. So there is, you could say, you know, an escalation of Russian efforts after a period of relative quiet when it came to Russia attacking cities in the interior of Ukraine. And because of this holiday, there was some apprehension through the night and yesterday and through the night here in Ukraine. We received a message at about 1 o'clock this morning that said if Russian ships continue their course in the Caspian Sea, expect launch of missile launches at 2 o'clock in the morning. In the end, there were four Russian strategic bombers over the Caspian Sea, and in the Kyiv city and Kyiv region, the air defense worked. including one of the Russian missiles, a KH-55, was shot down by a Ukrainian National Guardsman with a handheld device called an Igla manpad, a portable air defense. And with that, he was able to shoot down one of these Russian missiles. All of the missiles that Russia sent toward Kyiv were destroyed by air defense. And of course, whenever that happens, there are injuries and damage from the debris falling from the sky, but the city of Kyiv was protected. There's an anticipation of who will make the next big move, who's more afraid. And I think if you look at that, the scenes of that parade in Moscow today, it is not the confidence you've seen from the Kremlin in years past.
And what do you think the Russian people make of the difference in that parade? Are they starting to? I don't know if you can do it publicly because you'll be arrested or worse. But are they starting to voice more dissent there? Is there any way for you to tell?
No, we haven't. I mean, it's hard to know. And for example, there's a video emerged last week of the leader of the Wagner Group, the Putin's mercenary mm-hmm. army, and is expletive-filled video saying that the Russian military leadership was letting down the soldiers, that there's not enough ammunition. And on the face of it, it looks like there was dissent in the ranks. But I think any time we look at what information that comes out of Russia, we have to be mindful that it could be part of the propaganda efforts and maybe made to make the world look more complacent. It's really difficult to know. And I think if you look at, the breakup of the Soviet Union in 1991, Eastern European nations took a very different course from Russia. And in the 90s, Ukraine was, sort of on the path to be more like Russia, that, things were sort of wild and chaotic and very difficult here. And it was in 2014 that the people said, all right, we want to be free and independent. But Russia has not had that moment. And so, after decades of a society where you can't speak freely, the intelligentsia during the Soviet times were killed off. It's not a healthy discourse in society. And so I think part of the reason when we look at the Russian propaganda, and even Putin's speech today, like perhaps the Kremlin thinks that people in the West, and unfortunately some people do believe what Putin says, but it's easier to convince the Russian people of the propaganda because they don't have the tradition of civil society and discourse and conversation. They don't have that healthy skepticism. This is the type of society that can unleash the war that we're in. It's a broken society. And so I think it's hard to expect, and I know Ukrainians and Americans and Europeans working on the very difficult project of, what needs to happen, when there is victory with Russia. And there are plans to promote the dissolution of the Russian Federation. So to sort of liberate, because, Russia is a vast country full of many little republics, and to work with dissidents in those republics to make Russia actually many different countries. That's behind the scenes, but it's a long term project because there are not many strong dissenting voices in Russia.
Let me close with a text we got after you mentioned how you were kicked off of YouTube last week, Joe. Bob, I pray that WGN and News Nation never ban Joseph's reporting of the truth from Ukraine. There you go.
Wow. Thanks. I appreciate that. And it's still inexplicable. And my channel is there. I can't post on it. I've seen this happen with others. And I think we all, as I said, the propaganda war is heating, is quite intense now. And all it takes is many Russian bots to start ping an account, and then it can get easily shut down. Mm-hmm. And we also see that happening. The electronic warfare is happening. Over the weekend, there were many false reports of missile launches, and the Russians are trying to jam Ukrainian systems. So while it might look calm in many ways, behind the scenes, it's actually quite intense.
No doubt. Joseph Lindsley, thank you for the history lesson from Lviv today, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob.